conference or whatnot. So without further ado, Thomas.
Oh, thanks. My name is Thomas Olsen, working for DEF CON. But basically, I have some time to do some fun projects in my more or less spare time. So basically, this is a tool that I developed. I'm going to go through the basics ideas of blind IP spoofed port scanning. To do this, I mean, it's a bit technical and quite a lot of TCP IP header stuff. So I'm going to start off with doing some backgrounds on TCP IP handshakes very, very, very briefly. And then go on to the ID numbers and different prediction sequences for different operating system. The spoof scanning theories, basically this tool is based on the ideas that Antares presented with HPing about a year ago in a BugTrack post. I used those ideas and I developed the techniques quite a bit to actually make it work stable in real life by various techniques that we'll describe. Then I'm going to do a demo, some examples on how to use this tool. And then some time for Q&A, I guess. Okay, starting off with the basic TCP IP handshake stuff. The ID numbers have been until recently, until Antares post, not very thought to be very important security-wise. But it has been shown that, I mean, you can do this by looking out on how ID numbers increments. So we're going to start with basically a traditional three-way handshake and see what really happens. Starting off with some TCP IP definitions. This really basic stuff. An open connection between two computers. We have a socket connection, basically a TCP IP sockets, is defined by the following, of course. A source IP number, a source port number, destination IP number, destination port number, IP headers, basic. You also, in a TCP session, have an initial sequence number and a destination sequence number, of course. But the thing that most people don't know is when you're handling a TCP IP session, the server needs to keep track of which guy is going to have which packet. And the operating system uses the ID flag for this to have a pointer in the packet to know which connection is this guy on, even if it happens to be on the same port. Of course, you're using the sequence number, but you're also using the ID number within the same session, within the same TCP session. An operating system operates a bit different from system to system when defining this. For instance, you have Windows 95 that just have an increment of 1 on this ID flag for each packet. Solaris and Windows 2000 has an increment of 256. Cisco doesn't increase at all until you have done a total three-way handshake. This can also be used for fingerprinting in some way to improve fingerprinting. Looking at the header file, I'm going just to scroll down here. Basically, when we're looking at this, I just realized I don't have the ID flag. it's in a really weird. should be there. Basically, we start by doing a traditional TCP IP handshake. You start by sending source IP, destination IP. You have the source port and destination port. You send the SYN, which equals the initial sequence number. That is just an incrementing thing. The ID number is sort of the same. And you send a 0ACK and a flag S. And then your server, each time it sends a packet, this is the important stuff, the source ID is incremented. This is, let's say, Windows 95 box, then we'll increment the ID flag by one. The target then will send its SYNAC back, and it will also increment its ID counter by one to be able to keep track of the different streams. So it will send like the source IP, destination IP, SYN equals destination sequence number, ACK equals source sequence number plus one, flags if no flags, and then increment its ID number by one. So this is a like traditional handshake. So in SYN, then we send the ACK back. First the SYN, the SYNAC, and the ACK. And when we send the ACK packet, we'll increment the ID counter with one again. So we actually have an increment of two in case of Linux, for instance. So that's the traditional stuff. So basically we send the SYN with the sequence number plus one, and ACK with the sequence numbers, and also the ID numbers increments basically the same way as the sequence number increments. But as I said, there is, when I started to use this technique and test the tool, I realized that quite a few operating systems works in different ways. For instance, I thought it worked on Solaris, to use Solaris for these scanning techniques, but then it showed up that Solaris actually increments by 256, but it keeps track on its sessions, and it only increments it to that person. So it has more or less like a switch with different ID number for different sessions, so it keeps track of it in a different way, so it doesn't leak information on ID increments in between computers. So the traditional port scanning is what we said, SYN, SYNAC, ACK. The traditional stealth scan is basically SYN, SYNAC, and then you don't send the ACK back. So you are in a pending state, basically. Stealth scanning is traditional. You send a reset instead of a ACK packet to fool some older firewalls and IDS systems. Basically, sequence numbers, as we talked about already, is a placeholder to provide easy packet reassembly and keeping track of the streams. It increments each time a packet is sent in most operating systems, unless for instance, Cisco, who doesn't send them for the SYN ACK packets until it has an established TCP session, then it starts the incrementation, which makes this technique doesn't really work on Cisco boxes. And of course, there are various incrementation schemes that exist on different OSs. We're going to look at that a bit later, how you can circumvent. I mean, if you don't know the increment or the increments are not really scalar, if you have traffic on a house and stuff. Basically, the ID flag is also sent when you're closing down a session with a reset packet or and this is basically the key to the scanning technique that Antares presented. That if you have this, you can actually see when someone is sending a reset packet. You can see every time someone has sent a packet on the network. Most Unix boxes increments the ID flag by a random or pseudo-random number. I said most Unix boxes. This is not totally true. Actually, just the OpenBSD and FreeBSD, I guess, who does that. Most other has some way of predictable ID numbers. So the only two operating systems that are really secure against this is Solaris and OpenBSD. The rest are predictable. Up until today, as I said, it has not been known to be really critical security-wise to have predictable ID numbers. But at least Windows 95 increases by 1, Win 2000 increments by 254, and this is due to a reversed byte order in the stacks when I started to dig into the code and why it did like different stuff. It's just a reversed byte order thing, so basically both are incrementing by 1. Spoofed scanning in theory. Basically, The basic concept is polling a host, a decoy host, let's say Microsoft.com or some big company.com. We are a bad, evil hacker attacker that want to scan someone, but we don't want to give away our real IP. So basically, we're finding a web server, for instance, running on port 80. And each time we send a packet to it, it will return a packet to us. And then basically we can see that the ID numbers that we get back are incremented by 2. So basically, if the scanned host or this host that we're polling constantly for ID increments is receiving packets from another host and are responding to them, then the ID number will increase more than it should be if it's totally silent, if no one else has a connection to us. By analyzing this, we will know whether a port on the scanned host, which is a totally different host, is open or not. Because if the port is open, it will send an SYNACK response, and then the poll server that we're using will send a reset packet, and thereby incrementing its ID pointer. And this is done totally blind from the scan host. So if we're using someone, company.com, to do this, the guys who get scanned, their IDS system, will only show up you being scanned by company.com, and your IP number will never show up in the logs. Anyway, basically why I'm starting talking about this subject is because I think it's really important that everyone knows that this actually is doable. One of the main things is don't trust your IDS logs. We're working a bit with managed security services, and we've seen this growing quite largely when monitoring our IDS systems and log files. We see this in the wild already. That's why, I mean, it's not very, very well known in the security community, but there are people using this for intelligence gathering and for preparing attacks already. Yeah, since we know a Windows box, for instance, will increase the ID number by sending a packet each time. So by sending a packet, we can constantly probe the host to see how many packet is sent in between our polls. So basically, we send a packet and we watch the return packet. We take out the ID number and look how much it has incremented since it last. If a port is open on the scan host, the server will respond with a SYNACK. If a port is closed, the server will respond with a reset packet. And what's happening is our decoy host, if it receives a reset packet, is not going to send any packet. If it receives a SYNACK, it will say, what, a SYNACK from this host? I don't want this. And then it will send a reset packet and thereby increment its ID pointer. Basically, that was this slide says. If a host receives a SYN packet from an unknown source, it will send a reset packet back. If a host receives a reset packet from an unknown source, this is a typo in the slides, I guess. No, if a host receives a reset packet from an unknown host, the source will not send a packet back, and thereby not incrementing its ID counter. Okay, how it all fits together. Now we're getting into some nice boxes. Let's say we have a spoof host, an attacker, and a target. The spoof host is really not a better word might be decoy host, because that is probably company.com or somewhere we want to scan. Let's just call them anycompany.com, evil.org, and unknowing.com, for instance. So basically what we want to do is first establish a communication link between the attacker and the spoof host. Of course, the spoof host might notice this, that we are actually using him for spoofing. But basically, we can set the timeout either low or high, and we can do it over any open port. For instance, port 80. We could send a HTTP request every once in a second requesting default page, so it wouldn't be too suspicious. And then spoofing packets from spoof host, sending them to target. So basically, we start with sending a SYN packet on port 80 to the SPOF host or the decoy host that we want to scan from. He will send us a SYN ACK back. From there, we will know the initial ID number. What is his ID numbering settings? And how much is he incrementing? So we now know the SPOF host initial ID number. So basically, we send a spoofed packet to our target saying that it's coming from 172.0.0.1 with a destination to the target. The target in that case will, of course, route it to the real server that it was spoofed from. And if the port is open, he will then send a reset packet back. So the reset source is going to be 172.0.0.192.0.0.1 as destination, because that's where the SYN ACK came from. So they think that, okay, but I haven't initiated this session. No, I haven't either. I have to close this session down. This is wrong. So by doing this, he will have incremented his ID number. I mean, the spoof host or the decoy host will have incremented his ID number by 2, because he has sent 2 packets. So the next time we're going to poll this host, he is going to increment the ID counter. So we do a SYN, get a SYN ACK back, and out there we rip what is the ID flag set to. So doing the same thing, adding the ID counters to this, this is basically the same setup. So basically we send a, and we have added the ID counter. He sends a SYN ACK packet, and then his ID counter is equals 1. Then we spoof our packets, and he sends the response to spoof packet to the decoy host. The decoy host then sends a reset, and then we send our poll packet again. And then he will respond to our attack host, and his ID number will be 3. Then we know that it should just be 2, because we only sent 2 packets to him. So someone else sent him a packet. And this is the basic idea that the Antares had. But in real life, it's not very feasible, because you will get a false positive every time someone sends a packet or this host sends a packet. So if anyone or someone is working on this host, we'll get false positives. So it's not really a good or feasible scanning technique. It's possible, we have to rescan the host like 10 times to get real, and you can't use really loaded probe hosts or spoof hosts. So basically, by constantly polling a decoy host for ID number increments, we can see if the scanned target host has sent a SYN ACK or a reset packet. Basically, I'll go back a couple of slides, because this is the other idea. What happens if it comes to a reset packet? Basically, we send our SYN packets, we get the initial ID number, which then is 1, and we spoof our packets, and he sends a reset with the source, and then basically the spoof host you don't respond to a reset packet, so thereby his ID numbers won't increase, so his ID numbers will still be 1, and then we get the packet, we poll again, and his ID number is 2. So if the ID number is 2, then we know it's a closed port, and if the ID number is 3, then we know it's an open port. So by analyzing these ID numbers, we will know whether a port on the scanned host is open or not. And it's totally bound from the scanned host. The basic technique and its flaws. If the poll host is active, it will increase the ID number for each connection. So if it's an active host, then you will get false positives or false negatives. These false positives can be minimized by sending multiple packets on each port. And this is basically what I've done to get this to work in real life, aside from timing calculations, which are very important. let's say that we don't just say send one packet, the anti-resident, let's say that we send 20 packets or any amount of packets, because usually you have packet loss on networks, and each time you have packet loss, you will get false negatives. If a packet gets lost, a spoof packet, which happens eventually, then we will get a false negative. And if someone speaks on the host, or actually uses the host, then you will get false positive. So it's not very ultra-secure scanning technique. So we can minimize these false positives by sending multiple packets for each port, then calculating the increase. Then we'll get a bump. If it's increasing by 1, 1, 1, 200, 1, 1, 1, then we'll get a bump. Then people can use the machine, because basically you have increments about 20 sessions simultaneously per second or something. Then you have 20, 20, 20, then 200. Or something, the double the amount. So basically, the port will only show up true if the increase is number of packets sent times 255 in the Win2K, or times 1, divided by 2. And that is calculating a 50% packet loss. We'll still get true positives even with a 50% packet loss. So we can minimize all these false negatives, even if there was open port and the packet died. Even if half of the packets die, it will still show up in my tool. So it's quite a bit more stable. So basically what we're doing, if looking at this one, we, as an attacker, we're sending a bunch of packets to this host, spoofed packets. 172.0.0.1 to destination 192.0.0.1 times 20. This poor target host will then respond with 20 packets back. And calculating that half of the packets died on the way over, we'll still have an ID increment, which is 1 plus 20. So the next time that we poll this poor host, it will have an increment of 21. Then we know each time we have a closed port, we'll have 1, 1, or if someone is working at those, 2 or 3 or something per second. And then when we hit an open port, we'll have 40 or 20. We will see a big bump for the open port, which makes it really, really more usable in real life and much more stable. The bad thing about this is it's quite noisy. But noisiness is... You're not noisy from your own host. You're noisy from someone else. You're noisy from company.com. So basically, their IDS system will say that, okay, you can spot the scanning techniques in IDS system quite easily because, getting 20 packets per port. And that was basically the end of my little slideshow. Another thing which I don't cover in the slideshow is the fact that timing calculation is of importance. It's very hard to calculate for spoofed packets over the internet. Everyone who read up on normal blind TCP spoofing knows it's very hard to do the timing calculation. When will my packet arrive? And how fast can I send packets? In the beginning when I did this tool, I basically sent the packets as quickly as my NIC card could. But then I realized that if I got collision, then all the packets died on the first hop, route, basically, because I was more or less DOSing the first router. So it dropped all the packets. So I got really unpredictable responses because half of my packets died just because I didn't think of adding in delays. Now I have setting delays, but usually a millisecond. In between the packets seems to be sufficient. This can be tweaked in the tool as well. Okay, now I'm going to try to do a demo, which worked this morning, but it's always the demo devil inside. So I need, unfortunately, to set up. Some stuff. Let's see. ported it to Windows 2000. Basically, I ported it to Windows 2000 mostly because I wanted to learn the new Windows raw socket implementation. And while I'm doing this, I can say that the Windows raw socket implementation is not really, really raw, but it's a bit better than the previous sockets in Windows. And there was this argument before us on some channels that some security consultants said that Microsoft was doing big wrong when implementing raw sockets. I would say totally the opposite. I think it's the best thing Microsoft done in a long time, actually writing real sockets that you can use for writing real network stuff on a Windows machine. They're not really there yet with the raw sockets, but they are getting close to Berkeley sockets. Okay. It's always like this. I do this all the time. I should do a macro or something. Okay, now we have a network problem. Basically, the tool, which is named Spoofer, for now it's just a project name. Okay, not two P's, two O's. Spoofer. It's quite easy to do, to use. Basically, you have S, which is source or spoofed IP, where you want to spoof from. Basically, then you have T, which is the target to scan, of course. And then you have a port to poll the spoof host on. I mean, you have to know the open port of the spoof host because you are going to have a SYNAC connectivity with that host during the whole spoof sessions. So you actually have to know an open port on a host and know what sort of OS is it, or preferably the program will try it out anyway. The D, you can set this. You have an auto calculation for delay calculations, but you can set the delays in milliseconds between port. Default is not 1 second anymore. Default is basically if you're on a LAN and doing this, then you're down to 40 milliseconds. On some really slow PPP links, you might want to set it up to maybe 2 seconds. This is quite configurable. And then you have a port thingy, low and high port if you want to. Otherwise, you just uses the Windows or Unix basic services file to scan for known services if you don't specify ports. Yes?
Scan sequentially or randomly?
This one scans sequentially. I didn't have time to implement the random stuff. It was a bit press schedule. But I will. So basically, we just type spoofer. No, first we're going to do this. First we're going to go into VMware, and then we're going to start a TCP dump. Wow, let's see if this works. I was supposed to have three machines, that's why I have two projectors, but I realized that one of the machines didn't work, so I'm running it under VMware. So basically what I'm going to do now is from this Windows 2000 host, scan via this box, which is also Windows 2000 box, and scan my Linux, which are actually on the same computer. But anyway, so we set source is where we want to spoof the decoy host that we want to scan from, which has, in this case, the IP number 10.10.0.0.4. And then we have the target, which I just set the IP number on, which is .100. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll try to. Something like that, and then I will want some verbosity, -v, -v, I'll end map increased verbosity. And then we just need the port to do this on. And basically the port, of course, if since I know this Windows 2000 box, I will try 139, should be a quite close bet. And basically, there we go. Looking on this, we have some verbosity stuff set in this thing. We see that the ID increment is average 256. I send 10 packets to calculate the increase, since if someone is working on the box and he increments the first time like 256, the next time 512, and then you get an average out of 10 seconds, or at least 10 packets, how much is the average increment on the server, so you can work on loaded servers as well. And it appears to be, since the average increment is 256, it appears to be Windows 2000. This might also be a Solaris, in that case we'll have false positives. But since we see that the scanning of the Linux box actually works, so probably this is a Windows 2000 box. And if we set to some other port here, of course, then we will get error messages. Specified port closed on spoofed host. I mean, you have to have an open port on the host. The more interesting things is when we're getting in to this. Looking at what we get out of this, then we see quite a lot of packets coming from, this is not the right packets. Of course, we see netbuy session. Okay, stupid. let's try this again. I have to run the pro command again, I guess. And then quickly move over. So you see each port I'm sending about 20 packets for the different ports that I'm scanning for. It goes through all the known ports, and we see that the source is 10.0.0.100 to 10.0.0.4. And basically I think we can quit, otherwise it would take too long. So we see it's scanning all the ports and then giving positive increments, like port 139 open, port 445 open. So basically, of course, you don't have the run of program with triple V's on, because then it's quite hard to read. It's more a debug thing. Okay. So if we take out the V's, or at least some of it, we'll just see the open ports. Port 135, port 139. Basically, on local networks, it scans quite quickly. Yes? Nope. ID numbers is just used for TCP sessions. So the only numbers that the only thing that will increment that is TCP packets, and in some operating systems, even just established. I mean, the question was, does ICMP increments the ID counters? And the only thing that increments ID counters is TCP sessions. Okay, I guess that's the demo. I guess I'm quite good on time as well, so we'll have some time for Q&As. And the tool will be able to, you will be able to download this tool this afternoon. I just made some changes tonight. Yes?
Can I assume that if your host
hosts are protected by a stateful firewall that is your state from being a spoofed host?
The question was, are you safe from being a spoof host if you have a stateful firewall? And the answer, of course, is depending on the firewall. I mean, firewalls handles, I mean, for instance, firewall one, if you have fast mode turned on, which most people do when they have loaded servers, you still have that, okay, no SYN packets, but the rest of the packets are just let through. And quite a lot of the implementations on stateful firewalls still let through just SYN acts and stuff. So you can't guarantee it. I haven't tested on all firewalls. But some firewalls will protect you from being a spoof host, but some will not. It's really up to how you set the firewall as well, not just the vendor, because, I mean, firewall one, in some cases, defend you, but in other configuration, if you use the fast mode or something set on some services, which most people do on the web server, then you're vulnerable to being a decoy host. The download site will be labs.defcom.com, which is like a small lab site that we have for DEFCON projects. Yes? Okay.
You mentioned that Linux is vulnerable to
Not right now, actually. I think the problem is that most people have never thought about this, and I don't. I think the only guys who actually thought about this, the OpenBSD guys, who did, okay, just for the sake of it. I don't know, but maybe in the future someone will find some use of this number. So does it randomly? But I don't think I don't actually. I'm not really a Linux kind of guy, so I don't know anything about the patches and the patch levels there. Yes, down there. The question was, it generates quite a lot of traffic, and how does IDS systems cope with this? Yes, it generates quite a lot of packets, but the packets are really small. They don't have any payload. And the IDS systems, of course, I mean, you can write filters, but today there is no filters written for these sort of attacks. So basically, the ideal thing would do for your IDS is to see if you get more than one packet. But today they are, I mean, they won't go down on the traffic loads, but they won't report it either.
Well, part of the IDS is actually picking up on the signatures where it's a signature-based type IDS. I can see where it's just like local traffic and where it's small traffic. But what about some of your anomaly detection IDS? This does not look like local traffic, which is a SYN on that network. Would it not go ahead and trap that? Something like that.
I mean, it will eventually pick up as an. I tried on a few. I have tried. The question is, will anomaly IDS system pick this up? And I tried not all IDS system, but a few, and some. The packets comes in such close timing and to the same port as it comes like a DOS attack on some IDS systems. We'll pick it up as DOS attack. The guy in the white t-shirt down there. Can you repeat the question?
Have you thought about using least common multiples when working on the ID implement on your spoof host?
The question was, shouldn't it work better to use the least common increment? But I mean, the least common increment instead of using the average increment. And basically, that could be one thing to to work on. But since it's always changing while you're scanning, if someone adds on like 10 users to a box, then your average increment would change. So this is a quite good way of always being on the right slope, at least, on where how much the sequence numbers are increasing for each packet. That's why using the average. So did that answer your question? Yeah. They can't be really loaded. I mean, you can't use the huge corporate website to spoof from, because they are way too unpredictable. So, I mean, you can have some users, maybe a couple of multiple users on the decoy host, but not more than that. Like, not someone doing heavy FTP traffic or something. Then it gets way unpredictable. Yes.
Instead of using a single decoy host, have you tried using multiple decoy hosts? So instead of sending 10 packets to a single decoy, sending one packet to 10?
Yeah, but then you really get... I tried the question is, have you tried with multiple decoy hosts? And yes, I have tried with multiple decoy hosts. But the thing is that you get a very, very strange timing effect when you have decoy hosts all around the world, and you're sending spoof packets from all of them at the same time. And then you have to poll all of them, because then you get like a spike when you hit an open port, a very clear spike. Then you get like jitter over a longer time because the packets don't arrive at the same time. So you get more like a gibberish slope, something like noise when you hit an open port. And it's not as accurate. Then you can't scan as fast. It is possible to use multiple hosts, but then you have to have longer time in between the ports to get it accurate. Yes, there in the white shirt.
Have you done any testing across the open internet? What kind of accuracy?
I've done testing over the internet. Of course, depending on the timing values that you set, but it is quite accurate. I would say scanning a Class C network, maybe I have a couple of maybe 2% errors compared to an Nmap scan. But of course, the further away you are from the host that you are attacking, the more or scanning, I mean, the more packet loss will you have, and the more time fluctuances will you have. So the faster line you have, the better results you will get, of course. Yeah.
Will the tool still correctly identify, let's say, if it's an operating system that's multi-gender card stable because of that card machine? The identifier changes with multiple network cards.
Actually, that was today's question. I never thought of that. About that, what happens? The question was, what happens when you have a Windows box with multiple ID cards, network cards? Will the ID flag change for both network cards or just for one? I never thought of that. So you're today's winner of the O'Reilly T-shirt. Okay. Any more questions? Okay, I guess the time is out as well. So I want to thank everyone for attending, and I hope it was good. Thank you.